Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome back to More Than That. This past week we had a really, really nice change of scenery at City Church, and we were in the woods, quite literally. So we were having church up at Camp Susqua, which is one of the local Christian camps in central Pennsylvania. Camp Susqua is near and dear to us at City Church, as a lot of their staff end up coming to church here with us. So they were kind enough to offer up a space and a pavilion for us to not just have the service, but also share a meal together. So during the service, we had Raphael speak on Psalm 128. So Raphael, if you had an extra 10 minutes to introduce a new topic or dive a little bit deeper into something you already said, what would that have been?
Just my main thing, I think on Sunday, what really stood out for me was just looking and seeing how important the fear of the Lord is. And once again, just really wanting to emphasize, I think if I had 10 more minutes, I would really emphasize on the importance of every Christian growing in this aspect, growing in this area, because when you look at everything from Psalm 127, building, protecting, providing, and raising kids, and all of them have unless the Lord builds a house, unless mm-hmm. you know, if you build it without Him, you're building in vain. If you're protecting without Him, you're protecting in vain. If you're providing without Him, like waking up, toiling and doing all that stuff, it says that you're not even enjoying that. And then obviously children are a gift from the Lord. When you look at all that, the very things that you're really wanting, is that the only reason why we end up becoming main contractors instead of subcontractors is because we have a very low view sometimes of who God is. Mm-hmm. But if you now can really just be able to keep God in clear view and see who God is, it puts into perspective what we were talking about, that God is more interested in building your home more than you are. And building it in a better way, mm-hmm. God is more important, more interested, more capable of protecting your home than you are. God is more capable of providing. God is more capable of even helping you raise up your children the way in which they can become the best arrows possible. Mm-hmm. But because this is a wisdom psalm, we need to trust in Him, not lean on our own understanding. And what really then keeps that going? What becomes the catalyst? What becomes the motivating force behind that? That's sustaining, gets you going, keeps you going, makes sure that you actually get to the destination. Is the fear of the Lord. That's actually now where at least verse 2 says, you will surely eat what your hands have worked for. Mm-hmm. And you will be happy and it'll go well with you. With God in the center, everything then begins to actually get me. It gathers meaning. It becomes significantly, it has its weight because God is in the center of that. Mm-hmm. And even the lives that sometimes if things don't turn out the way we want to, the fear of God there still secures us, because we still are saying that, man, God, you still have a final say here.
Mm-hmm.
If I keep God in clear view. But this is now like, at least my let me use my 6 minutes here to kind of just like give you what I think this really helps us with. You can read wisdom literature and just walk out of there saying, I've screwed it all up. Who can actually keep this kind of standard?
Mm-hmm.
And what's so beautiful about this is the fact that, like, Christ then becomes the standard. And I say that, like, looking at Isaiah chapter 11, you see Jesus saying that he is full of the Spirit of God and he actually delights in the fear of God. Jesus then is actually the, you know, where everyone has faltered, Jesus comes and succeeds. Mm-hmm. And becomes the very man who succeeds in fearing the Lord. Jesus succeeds in fearing the Lord. Jesus is the one who walks in God's ways, obeys God in each and every way. Jesus is the one who, even today as the church, what are we doing as a church, gathering, worshiping, and doing all that? We are enjoying the work of God's, of Christ's hands. Nailed on that cross, died the death we should have died. Now we enjoy the blessedness, and it goes well for us because of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's actually now like where, and the good news in that is the fact that like now we get to vicariously live the life that we couldn't live, but with Jesus and his strength strengthening us, now with the Spirit now inside within us, now we can delight in the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have Jesus.
Yeah.
Apart from him, we can do nothing. But with him, now we can delight in the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
So the fear of the Lord should not become something that looks like it's unreachable for the child of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is something that is so reachable because through Christ and in Christ and with Christ, surrounded by Christ, fueled by Christ, propelled by Christ, now we can actually now, even in circumstances that look like, man, it is totally done, we can now have Christ actually sustaining us there, especially in a household.
Mm-hmm.
If we take our eyes off Christ, we then get to suffer from actually like, that's where we can put a finality to what actually now Christ has actually conquered.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that like our prayers actually like falter? It's because we've forgotten that he intercedes on our behalf. We've forgotten that he's seated on the throne. We've forgotten that like, What is it that could come against the house? Shall persecution, nakedness, famine, sword, trials, all those things. In all these things, no, we are more than conquerors through him who died for us, mm-hmm. rescued us. And it just basically like looking at everything through Christ, the lens of Christ, then gets to show us that what we have is nothing but blessedness, even in the midst of, but for your sake, we're being slaughtered all day long, which is Romans 8. And in there, we're getting to see, no, we're still more than conquerors. In Christ, then we get to actually experience what I would say the fullness of this blessed life. It might not be now, but we will surely see it.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it empowers us in the valley while we're fighting. Is your marriage going through hard things? Are you trying to build and you feel like everything is against you? You have one that has won the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And he can fight. And as you're going to get to see in the next couple of weeks, when we're exploring, even just what is it that divides a home? Even Jesus says that like, hey, from the beginning, he's the one who walked these two down the aisle, who united them. And he says that divorce happened because of the hardness of heart. there was one who was not actually, there's one within that covenant of marriage who's mm-hmm. not upholding the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
And especially when we're looking at the reverence of Christ, it means that, like, man, if we both run to him who has, I'm about to say your buzzword, who has the power of resurrection, what impossible situation can we face if both of us submit to that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what about parenting? What about provision? What about protection? What about actually taking care? Man, I've got wayward children, and they just don't seem like they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hold on to the one that has the power of resurrection.
Yeah.
Man, he has the final say. And at one, whether it's you, whether you're alive or whether you actually are gone, Christ still gets to fulfill his word if you still believe him for the fact that he said it is finished, victory is won. So that's my 10 minutes with that.
Yeah, and I think it was really, so in the sermon you like spent some time kind of unpacking what fear is.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to how we think about fear in our modern context.
Yeah.
Like, you know that I'm a big horror movie fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of my water bottles is, like, all the classic slasher people.
Yeah.
I haven't used that one in a while because, like, you know, working at the church, I don't want to give people the wrong impression. But it's a really cool motif to kind of play with. And it plays on not the biblical use of fear. They play on terror.
Yeah.
But the type of terror that they are playing on in horror movies is somebody who is in equal dignity and status as ourselves,
yeah,
exerting power over top of us in situations that are usually life-threatening, whether that's, you know, by our own hand or by them or whatever it might be. Especially, you know, Saul's coming out with a new one, so that's going to be like by your own hand, kind of forced. So, like, you know, those type of things are terrifying for us.
Yeah.
But then you bring up, and you brought up, like, well, you know, that's not actually what the biblical use of fear is. Yes, it is terror,
mm-hmm.
but it is a, it's a terror that, like, it's putting you in your place.
Yeah.
Not necessarily somebody who is of equal status and dignity putting you in a subordinate place.
Yeah.
But there's this God that is so great that we as creatures are now put in our place as creatures.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, you brought up, like, fear and obey are like synonyms.
Yeah.
At least in the biblical text, like, it's like that's what fear is biblically,
mm-hmm.
not just like all out terror.
Yeah. When we think of fear, we think all out terror, right? And that's actually just like really, and there is a way in which, but this is now like a list, like what, and I think I'd really try to make sure that, like, a list that is balanced, because in God, we have a loving God, but it doesn't relax who he truly is.
Mm-hmm.
We have a loving God. It's just one of those things where it's like, you're not asking, hey, just because I want a lovey-dovey dad,
mm-hmm.
like, go ahead and just kind of relax your, you know, it's almost like...
relax just the wrathful side of...
But you see, now the thing about that is that, like, I want that side.
Yeah.
Because that's the protecting side. That mm-hmm. is actually, like, the moment we look at the cross and we try to dumb it down, the wrath of God, we have actually totally missed out on the love of God, because love, that is, does not include wrath.
Mm-hmm.
If someone was to try to come, like another woman tries to come and to do something to you, and Taylor is standing there, mm-hmm. and she doesn't react, then you're like, hold on, what?
Mm-hmm.
But we all know the wrath of Taylor. We all know the wrath of Heidi. We all know the wrath of, like, but there is,
yeah,
almost like that godly jealousy that's there, that just really just shows, hey, yeah, like, it's watching here. When it comes to God being, you can be in the presence of greatness and just feeling that weight. I like at least how you said, being put in your place. But then at the same time, there's this attraction that's there. And he is the one I was made for.
Yeah.
He is the one. So there is almost like a way. I'm in the presence of greatness, but yet at the same time, I'm invited fully and freely, and he has removed every obstacle in Jesus, like for me to actually enjoy his presence. That actually is then now what I would say a healthy fear. A fear that doesn't just shrink away and totally hides from God, but a fear that like actually see him for who he is, majestic, powerful, but then also a fear that see him for who he is, also loving and also inviting. And so therefore there is actually that working out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's actually just like you're aware I'm in the presence of his majesty, and but it, at the same time he is loving, he's gentle, he's lowly, he's everything that I need. So there's got to be that. But then the practical aspect of that, which is actually like where one of the books that has just amazed me deeply, just finished reading through that. I listened to a podcast about that the other day. It is a book by Kelly M. Kapik. He talks about, in his book, he talks about just the whole idea of like, you know, we do not embrace the fear of the Lord, especially when it comes to some of the areas, like especially around productivity and efficiency. And this is like where your stuff from deep work kind of stuff comes in.
Yeah.
Where there is just almost like we sometimes deny our finitude. And we just really just like, we have maybe what I would say a low view of creation and a low view of incarnation when it comes to just like seeing that like, okay, God says build, you know, the way he actually builds is that like, if you look at Proverbs, if you look at Psalm 127, it says he gives his beloved sleep. But if I'm up and I'm just like, I want to still like be as much, I'm burning the candle on both ends and I'm still wanting to even push and extend time.
Yeah.
I want to be productive because I'm anxious that if I don't do it, it's not going to be enough. Then what actually then, the cure of that is the fear of the Lord. What do I mean by that? Recognizing that he wants to provide for your family more than you are. He wants to build more than he wants to protect. He wants to do all that. So at creation, we're introduced to this great God who moves the universe and does, and he meets it unfilled and unformed, and he comes and fills it up and forms it and does all that stuff, and he makes us, and he makes everything good, and it's all satisfying. The fear of God then actually like is actually usually the Adamic sin is that we run away from and we say, no, we want more. We want. But like, if you look at everything, everything was actually meant for our good there. And so creation helps us there. And then at the same time as well, obviously, you know, incarnation is you're watching Jesus coming in. And he is the one filled with the fear of the Lord. And what does he do? Disciples are looking for him. He withdraws and he's praying. He is reading the word of God. He is listening to. And he lives aware of God's divine presence. God's divine presence. And so therefore, I think actually practically what it looks like to live in the fear of the Lord is to live so aware of God's divine presence in the midst of life and all of life, who walks in his ways. Meaning that like, okay, what is his ways when it comes to my anxiety? what is his ways when it comes to my lack? Mm-hmm. What is his ways when it comes to the fact that I feel like I'm inadequate?
Yeah.
What is his ways meeting every single one of our deepest problems and fears and insufficiencies with the truth of who God is, and then responding rightly to that? And I think that's actually what it means, all will be well with you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you won't face cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you won't face all these other terrible things. But even in the midst of all that, man, there's fellowship with him in suffering. There's the peace that he gives. There's this conviction that you've got an incredibly glorious future in him. That, like, you know, the present sufferings do not mm-hmm. compare to the glory that is yet to come. That's all, those things are all restoring the fear of the Lord
mm-hmm.
in the midst of just like the most terrible places of our lives.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think there's something to like bringing in the productivity thing. Like, if we're, you know, to keep with the whole movie theme.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not bringing in a horror movie. Don't worry. But it's a comedy.
Yeah.
Yes Man. Have you seen Yes Man?
No. No, I haven't seen it.
So basically, Jim Carrey is challenged to say yes to everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you know, that's thinking about that and how we place our productivity in perspective. If our productivity is based on us, we're going to always like. Of course, we're going to always fail. We're not going to always live up to the expectation that we have and that we set for ourselves. But if we base our productivity on what God has accomplished, which is everything. Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Then now we have success that is based upon an example that has been lived out, which is Jesus and then the sacrifice that he made on the cross.
Yeah.
So seeing those things and kind of putting them into perspective is really, really helpful, especially whenever you're looking at what does the fear of the Lord actually look like?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
you mentioned that it's the fear of the Lord isn't complete until it's expressed in our actions.
Yeah.
And, you know, I say this all the time, like if your beliefs are affecting your behavior, then that would be a healthy fear of the Lord. As long as your beliefs are biblical and surrounding mm-hmm. that, if they're affecting your behavior and you are now expressing what you believe out of fear because you're in your place, then you can then be effectively showing Christ to everybody around you.
Yeah.
Because then it's not just a Sunday relationship. It's not just something you do here in the sanctuary where we are recording right now.
Yeah.
It's something that happens when when you are at dinner, at Sunday dinner or something like that. Or you are at work Thursday or Friday and you're zapped. For energy, and you're ready for the weekend. You're ready to get your fix again on Sunday. It's like, well, no, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about just going from Sunday to Sunday. We're saying what's happening on Sunday, yes, it's fuel for you to get through the week, but it's a constant reminder to fear the Lord in such a way that we are now able to show who Christ is.
That's good. Yeah.
I mean, you look at the example of Jesus, and what did he do whenever he was after he came out of the wilderness?
He went
on a retreat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure for probably 20 out of the 40 days, he probably whatever matched at least a little bit of it. But like the guy rested after. He did all of that work.
Yeah.
So it's like, mm-hmm. you know what, if Jesus can rest and spend time with the Father, then so can we. But yet that doesn't mean we don't have the energy and the ability to do the things that he calls us to do because we have that fear and, and that obedience.
Yeah, so it's at the end of it all, really now, it's like we have to now be able to, you know, there's some practices. One of the most amazing books, there's a book on spiritual disciplines, on spiritual disciplines that just basically like helps you. It's called a handbook of spiritual disciplines, you know, and this is like it just helps you to be able to think about, you know, when we get stagnant, specifically like on in trying to actually know and see where God is in the midst of our, you know, in the midst of our lives. You know, we need to actually now be able to have, you know, like disciplines that at least can help you, like, try to actually see, where was God today in my day? Mm-hmm. Like, where, you know, so one of the things that at least, like, in Kelly M. Kubik's book, You're Only Human, this is very good. He mentions one of the things that like you need to do is just to practice, you know, confession and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Being able to confess like confess where you were not able to confess just where at least like you're seeing, hey, this is where I am grasping at God's. Like maybe just trying to be more proud.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I and this is what I'm struggling with. This is where at least like I have less of the fear of God. Because we can be fearful of God in one area and then another one we're not.
Yeah.
This is where at least like, you know, I found myself trying to control the outcome of things, and that was just almost like a form of mistrust.
Mm-hmm.
And just being able to at least kind of be able to name what are some of the things that you confess at the end of your day. And then what are some of the things, but then exercising gratitude as well. This is where I saw God surprise me today.
Yeah.
Man, you know, there's sometimes in the middle of the day where you're like, man, at some point I knew that my day was going south, and man, God came through. He helped me there. And just being grateful for ways in which God provided strength and all that stuff. What that does is that it helps you now then begin to actually like have a little bit of an awareness of like, you know, an awareness of like where God was at work. And that's where at least like my spiritual disciplines handbook just like really kind of comes in, because in there our main thing right now is that like we only just think of disciplines as just two things, two or three things, mm-hmm. you know, prayer and reading the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But what are other disciplines that help you with growing and getting to know this is, you know, getting to know and grow in the fear of the Lord. What about celebration? What about gratitude?
Mm-hmm.
What about like, you know, do you put a little bit of weight in terms of like when you're walking towards the Lord's table? What about actually Sabbath? What about worship? What about, you know, contemplation, solitude, journaling, you know, rest, retreating, self-care stuff? And what about like just like unplugging stuff? What about like the deep work stuff that we're talking about?
Yeah.
What are some of the things that actually make you silence and solitude, you know, just serving others, like, you know, just doing all these other things? What about intentional, you know, like intentional hanging out with a friend that you know always is just going to help you and probe in your life and bring out the very things that you need.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the gift of friendship, spiritual friendships, you know, prayer, whatever it is. Like, you just kind of think about all these other disciplines. Yeah, all those are things that help you. And what about fasting? What about all those things? Things that, like, we don't realize, they help in getting us actually to reorient. Because it's just almost like, it's just like a way in which, like, to reorient where our rest comes from. We were driving from Florida one time, and we saw there's a sign that had just been, I think it lost a couple of screws. So, and instead of saying rest area this way, you know, it actually was pointing rest area this way and it was pointing up. And I was like, that's gospel right there. That is Jesus straight up talking to me. Your rest is not on this earth. Your rest is where? Up there.
Yeah.
I will end with that. That's mic drop.
I was going to say mic drop, especially since you just got your new microphone.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And I want to add a spiritual discipline to that. And I haven't read the handbook. I've never looked at it.
Yeah.
But maybe this is more of like a tangential one to kind of launch you into another spiritual discipline, but the spiritual discipline of boredom. Don't be afraid to make yourself bored or let yourself get bored, because whenever boredom hit, like sets in, what's our initial response? It's to pick up this 2.5 by 5 inch device that we carry with us everywhere, and we're going to scroll through Facebook, we're going to scroll through all of that stuff just to occupy our mind. It's like, let's get away from that. So then, as we, instead of being allowing ourselves to just kind of sit there and twiddle our thumbs or doom scroll through Instagram or Facebook, why don't we use that to catalyze prayer?
Or,
hey, I know I'm going to be bored for 3 hours today. Why don't I'm going to use that to catalyze my desire to go exercise, take care of my body, or to hang out with a friend. Maybe do both: hang out with a friend and exercise at the same time. Maybe even do three: pray with that friend as well. But like, you using and utilizing things that we find ourselves in to help us in that fear of the Lord, so then we can have these spiritual disciplines be not just like coming to the surface, but also worked on and strengthened. So
that's good. That is good. Yeah, it's that's where your silence and solitude comes in. That's like where, but we don't like that. Like, I don't like being doing nothing. But yet at the same time, there has to be seasons of actually doing nothing, of just like, okay, I've got to set aside time to do that. Yeah. So that's good, man. It's good.
Yeah. So I just want to remind all of you that this podcast, this conversation that Raphael and I are having, is not a it's not a replacement for the Sunday sermon. It's not a replacement for getting involved in a local church, actually being there in person, meeting people, getting to know the body, and getting to become a part of the body in an active way, allowing your beliefs to affect your behavior because you fear the Lord. So, Raphael, thank you for the sermon. Thank you for taking the church on a trip to the woods, and just getting to reset our eyes, reset our focus on not just that church is the building, but that we can go out into the world and experience God, even if that is for church. So we will see you all next week. Have a blessed week.
Have a blessed week.